You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On T-Wolves Twitter account. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Also, make sure to check out my Twitter account, at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. Got prior podcasts and all kinds of good content on both of those places. Make sure to go check it out. Also, check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Again, the Locked On NBA podcast, that is where you can find the preview episodes. It still applies. You can still get ready for every single team around the NBA. The preview episodes for every single roster. All the NBA hosts got together. We put together some really cool episodes, and I think you'll really enjoy them. So it's a great way to get ready for the NBA season. Make sure you're going and checking it out on the Locked On NBA podcast. Also, when you're there, just subscribe to it, because every day we've got new hosts, new guests on that thing. We've got everything you need to know about the NBA. It's a broad scope view of the league that you love to observe so much. So it'll get you prepped week in and week out for basketball every single day. Make sure you go and subscribe to that. Thank you so much, and enjoy the show today, because we've got a full docket again. We are in midseason form right away in the second game of the year. We have the Cavaliers coming to town. It is the home opener, not the season opener, but the home opener for the Timberwolves. Cavaliers are in town, the LeBron James-less Cavaliers. So we'll see what matchups can be exploited here, but we're going to break down that game, look at the best way the Timberwolves can attack this roster, and then hopefully come out with a prediction that it's closer than the last one, and hopefully we see some more diversity from the Timberwolves as well. Also, got my the new segment, three things you saw from the NBA last night. There was a couple games, not the full slate like yesterday's segment, but there were a couple games, and there was plenty to see last night, so we'll be going over all that. But first, let's talk about the Cavaliers. All right, so obviously LeBron James is gone. This is a very different Cavaliers team. It's mostly going to be Kevin Love trying to carry the weight of this team. You saw that already in Game 1 when they played the Toronto Raptors. Kevin Love had 21 points. Nobody else on the Cavs team topped 20. And Love was doing a lot of the offense. He took 18 shots. Nobody else even took above 15, had above 15 shot attempts. He's going to have to carry the load, and he's going to have to kind of lock back into that mindset that he had with the Timberwolves when he was the main guy and he was needing to put up close to 40 a night, or at least going out with the mindset that he had to put up 40 a night and trying for that goal, because that's what this team is going to need from him. You've got a lot of guys who aren't going to be super polished. Rodney Hood has his ups and downs, but he's not a consistent player. You've got Kyle Korver, who is good, but he can't come in for huge minutes. You know, you haven't seen him in years come in for huge minutes and really be the guy that can consistently knock down shots. Colin Sexton is just a rookie. Sam Decker, a perennial bench player who is probably going to get the most minutes of his career here with the Cavaliers. Jordan Clarkson, super sporadic player, very inconsistent. Tristan Thompson has had his problems. And I just don't – I think he's slowly he's becoming less and less efficient. He's becoming less and less imposing of a player. He really needs to just focus on getting boards. And he needs to clean up better around the rim. But really, if you can just get him to get double-digit rebounds, that's already getting a lot for Tristan Thompson. He's been pretty inconsistent last year as well. I mean, what was he thinking? What was he thinking? The Kardashian curse not only is super real, but then he cheats on one of the Kardashians twice. He's never going to be able to play basketball the same again. I mean, come on. This is crazy. I already talked about how – I talked about this a year ago. I thought that NBA teams should figure out how to weaponize the Kardashian curse by simply trading the guy who is infected with the Kardashian curse to another team, preferably a team that's a major contender like the Rockets and the Warriors, therefore just permeating that locker room with the Kardashian curse and toppling a big rival or a big adversary in either your conference or in the league. And I think that the Cavaliers can still exercise this option and maybe try and take out Boston if they're trying to get to the top of the East, or maybe just take out the Warriors, trade them to the Warriors, and do everyone a favor and topple one of the top like five most successful franchises in NBA history, topple them with the Kardashian curse. I don't know, but that's your best option around Tristan Thompson right now. Anyways, don't listen to me in my rants and craziness. I've been already launched into the deep dive of the NBA, and we're only a few days into the season, so good luck listening to me for the rest of the year. Anyways, so looking at this team, I really like the matchup at guard for the Timberwolves. I mean, if you just go point guard, George Hill and Colin Sexton, they also Jordan Clarkson, sometimes that second team runs the offense through him, even though he's not a real true point guard. He's more of a shooting guard. But if you're looking at Colin Sexton and George Hill, I think that the Timberwolves, if you're running the offense through Derrick Rose, Tyus Jones, Jeff Teague, if you throw a couple of those guys out there against guys like George Hill and Colin Sexton, I think they're going to have real success. They struggled to defend the guards the other night against the Toronto Raptors. They really struggled with Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet. Both of those guys played really well. Kyle Lowry shot 83%, which is crazy. I'm not expecting that from a Timberwolves guard. But Fred VanVleet also shot 42%. Just not doing a really good job guarding the opposing point guards. And both of those guys, they combined for 41 points. So if the Timberwolves can get Derrick Rose, if they can get Jeff Teague going, there's a real matchup to exploit there against Hill and Sexton. And I think that that's something you got to pay attention to, especially if Jeff Teague is kind of feeling himself right now. He showed up with 27 points in the opener against the San Antonio Spurs. If you can get him going early in this game, I think that that's a really key matchup to kind of keep going back to. And I think that the Timberwolves really need to focus. If they're not going to commit to getting better at spacing the floor, they really have to key in on this stuff. And the Cavaliers, speaking of three-point shooting, 7 of 19, weren't exactly the best from three-point range or spacing the floor as well. So this is a matchup where the other team probably isn't going to do a great job spacing the floor. They've got a bunch of guys who they could play okay, they could play really bad. And so if you can key in on this matchup and then start kind of picking them apart there, I think the rest is going to fall apart. This is not exactly the most stable of teams right now, and I don't think it's going to take much to push them over the edge and to get them to start forcing some bad looks. And I think it could be as simple as really focusing on the point guards. But again, if you go to just guards in general, you've got Rodney Hood, you've got Jordan Clarkson, excuse me, I don't know why I was spacing on his name. You got Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. They just aren't really great at guard in general. And I think that if you got guys you can play, obviously Wiggins is playing some small forward, but you can also play him at shooting guard. You have Jimmy Butler at shooting guard. This is a real area where you can just ruin the day for the Cavaliers by going after their guards. J.R. Smith, I'm not sure if he's going to play. He didn't play against the Toronto Raptors. Questionable with that elbow. So I'm not sure if he's going to play, but J.R. Smith's defense has been falling off as of late. Also, inside scoop from a friend of mine who is a bartender in the cities, Brandon Dickey. He was saying that J.R. Smith might not be full go tonight either because of some drinking the other night. Some Jack Daniels the other night might have him down as well as the elbow. So we'll see how J.R. Smith plays on defense. But I just think that the Timberwolves, if you're looking at the guys that they have at both guard spots versus who the Cavaliers have, not only can they win this on offense easily, easily they should be able to win this matchup on offense. But also on the defensive side, there's a lot of inconsistency from the guards, from the shooting guards. These guys are not the most stable bunch for the Cavaliers. You got to get the ball to Teague, to Rose. Even Tyus Jones should be able to – he should go after these guards and go for buckets against these guards. Butler, all these guys, you got to be setting screens. You got to be getting these guys open. And then if you can hammer that home, if you can hammer that home in the first half, really attack this position, force the defense to come over and help time and time again, then that's when in the third quarter you start feeding Towns. You start feeding Towns. I know it was a down game, foul trouble for Towns in that first one. Towns is an amazing player. And obviously you're not going to just go away because he's not just going to go away because of one bad game. But in the third quarter, I think that he could do some things in the opening half, obviously, but that third quarter is where I really want to see Towns after the guards have been beating up on a bad backcourt for the Cavaliers. That's when you start feeding the ball to Towns and give him that one-on-one matchup with Tristan Thompson. And Tristan Thompson just doesn't have the defense to hang with Towns. He's just not athletic enough to hang with Karl Anthony Towns. Towns should be able to hang up 14 points in the third quarter alone on Tristan Thompson. That's just what should happen. And so these are the matchups that I'm looking for going in against the Cavaliers. I hope that the Timberwolves can exploit them. Again, all this, if you have Anthony Tolliver and a couple other guys help Anthony Tolliver to get to like 28 three-point attempts, I want to see Tolliver take like 9. But if you just have the team kicking in around him and they put up 28 three-point attempts, the spacing is going to be so much easier. You've got guys trying to close out on dudes outside, and then they're going to start biting on pump fakes. They're going to start crashing on high screens, and that's when Towns is really going to be able to wreck the paint for the Cavaliers. He's just going to destroy Tristan Thompson. And if you're giving him that one-on-one matchup, game over, game over. And so that's why you really got to pound home spacing for this team. But again, even if they don't do that, if you just attack a weak guard position, I think that this game is already set up. That's why my prediction for this one is the Timberwolves win 116-102. High scoring affair, I think. But I think the Timberwolves come up with this one. They just have so many better players on this roster. And it's going to come down to can Love pull this team up by its bootstraps? And I just don't know if there's enough around him to even do that. And I don't know. I think you need Colin Sexton to be a lot better for Love to actually have some support around him to start pulling out wins against teams with better overall talent. And so right now the Timberwolves clear advantage, and I think they're the clear victor tonight in their home opener. Hopefully the prediction comes true. We're going to get to some sponsors before the final segment. All righty, so started this yesterday. It's just three things I saw from the NBA. There's games every night, and so you can learn stuff every single night. You can observe stuff. You can check some new information into the library that is the 2018-19 season, because that's what we're doing, right? We're just kind of filing away information for the playoffs, what we're learning about these teams, and for next year, we're already filing away information. We're already coming to finding some things out, jumping to some conclusions unfairly, because you shouldn't jump to conclusions so early, but we're already kind of seeing, oh, I was kind of right about that guy. Oh, I was kind of right about that team. I know it's not fair, but hey, we're only human. That's kind of what you tend to lean towards. And it feels this Bulls team, the first thing I saw last night, this Bulls team is going to be fun. I don't know if that equates to wins. I don't know if it equates to wins later or not now. I don't know if it ever equates to a lot of wins. But this Bulls team is going to be fun. Zach LaVine was super fun to watch last night. Bobby Portis showed up big. I thought Lauri Markkanen, when he gets into this lineup, he's going to be fun to watch with them. I thought that Wendell Carter Jr., he did some – I know he didn't have the craziest game, and he only played 19 minutes, but he's gonna do some things. Justin Holliday looked good starting that forward spot for Markkanen. And then I think that Jabari Parker, he looked pretty solid as well. I know coming back from that injury, but I think that his shot is going to get better as he builds confidence in this roster. So I think he's going to be a really good three-point shooter off the bench. I know, again, he only shot 1-for-4 last night, but I think as he continues to recover from that injury, that knee injury, he's going to continue to build confidence, get better. The shot's going to come with it. But, again, Zach LaVine looked really good. Well, you can say whatever you want about his defense, but he's going to come after you on offense. He's going to come for your throat on offense. And so it was a fun game. And even though they lost, and even though the 76ers clearly were the better team, the Bulls were a fun team. They're a frisky team. They were close for a while. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this Bulls team. I'm going to watch through the losses. I liked watching Zach LaVine. The second thing is that the 76ers are still Fultz away. Still Fultz away from being a real contender. They still need Fultz to really, truly develop. Because you saw this. This was two teams. You saw Joel Embiid go off. You saw Ben Simmons with the triple-double. Robert Covington looked really good. This team shot 33%, but they hit 12 of 36 threes, shooting more threes. But this was a totally different team than the team that played Boston. And you can say that, oh, it was just the rust in game one. But that's kind of the way it was in the series against Boston, too, was you kind of had two different teams showing up for these games. And you need Markelle Fultz to be a diverse and well-rounded player, kicking in with assists, with rebounds. And you need him to be a really versatile scorer if this team wants to be a contender, a real contender in the East. And so you need to see him continue to grow up. Obviously, knocking down some shots, hitting that three-pointer that got the standing O, it is a start towards that. But you need to see him grow and grow up quickly over this season if you want the 76ers to actually be a contender. All right. The last thing I saw, LeBron James not going to take this season off. I know it's just one game, but 37 minutes in the opener for him. He had the double-double, was 4 assists away from the triple-double, kind of in the realm of that, which LeBron James just perennially seems to be in the realm of a triple-double, really close, breathing down triple-double's neck. But I know that a lot of people thought that or speculated that he was going to take the season off. I really don't think he will, just because I don't think it's in his DNA. Also because for someone who is basically his entire adult life has watched LeBron James in the finals, it's really hard for me to envision him taking a year off and not going to the playoffs. It kind of hurts my brain just trying to think about that. And so I don't see him taking this year off, and I think he's going to go pedal to the metal. I think he's going to really try and elevate this roster, and I think he's going to do that so that his teammates can learn how to be successful, learn how to be winners, learn how to be a winning roster. And I think that he's going to put up some serious numbers this year. I don't think he's going to take the year off. And I think this was just the start of that with 26 points in the loss to the Trailblazers. All right, so those are the three things I saw. Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed tonight's basketball game. We'll be back here Monday. Have a great weekend, guys, and thank you for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.